This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant Live. My special guest today is Mr. Sean Mazey. Did I say that right?
Maybe. Yes, you did that time. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Say hello to everybody, Sean.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Cal, for having me on. It's a pleasure to be nominated and be a part of this. Exciting and nervous.
It is my pleasure to have you on. Your friend Eric Johnson suggested that I contact you, and I'm so glad he did. Thank you, Eric, for that. This episode is, of course, sponsored by Nomad PHP. We'll talk a little bit more about Nomad PHP in just a few minutes. But first, Sean, I like to ask everybody, what's your, I like to refer to it as your superhero origin story. How did you get into programming?
That's an interesting question, I guess, for me. I don't know about everybody else, but I didn't get into programming until I was about 18 or 19. I was given a Pentium 486 computer almost 16 years ago now. And we had Windows 95, and I ended up getting a virus pretty much the first weekend, and all I could use was the DOS interface. And then from there, just, you know, changing directory, and then it kind of just spurred a love of technology and figuring out how to, like, work through the depth of the code and the DOS system, and bought some books on coding, and then just step by step, and then I graduated, and I didn't know what I wanted to do for a year, so I just kind of worked, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to go become a professional computer programmer. So I went to college and, you know, took all the courses, graduated, and got into the actual development world, and kind of been an ongoing state of just learning and hacking away, and constant changing directories, CD, CD, CD all over, and then just ramping up my knowledge, and it's been incredibly fun because I get to learn new stuff almost every day and try new things and build awesome products.
Excellent. Now, have you always worked in PHP, or did you start your career in another language?
PHP for me is a self-taught language. We didn't have PHP. I think, if I recall, it was a Microsoft school, so we had to learn Visual Basics and Access, Microsoft Access, way back in the day. And my final thesis project, I did like a shopping cart, and instead of doing it in Java or C or whatever, I said, hey, I want to do it in PHP, and thankfully the instructor said, yeah, sure, no problem, and went and built that shopping cart for a local comic store down the street from my house, and it's been kind of a strong connection ever since.
Excellent. Well, now, I got to tell you, son, you're not old enough to say back in the day, okay? When you've worked with Visual Basic for DOS, then you can talk to me about back in the day, you know? Because
okay.
That was actually the first version of Visual Basic that I played with, was Visual Basic for DOS. And I actually wrote code using that, and it's embarrassing these days. But anyhow, well, that's it. That's great. And now these days, you work in PHP, and you work with you build websites, and you work primarily with Laravel. We'll get to that in a little bit, but one of the things you brought up, and I found it fascinating, was you're hard of hearing. Now, I'm old. I pretend to be hard of hearing, usually when my wife wants me to do something. But you actually are hard of hearing. How has that affected your developer career?
I would say there's pros and cons. It has and it hasn't. I think personally for myself, being in this particular career where we are behind a computer and we rely on chat, DM, IRC, Slack nowadays, I can just talk to the people and read what they say. The difficulty comes where if we're having a meeting and someone, you know, mumbles or is a low talker, and I struggle there. So I try to be upfront to wherever I'm working or my coworkers say, like, look, I need you to speak up. I need to be able to read your lips. These are things I need to be able to be successful. And usually everybody is very helpful and very mindful of it. Sometimes I may have to remind them from time to time, hey, I have no clue what you said. You need to repeat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of times, especially when I'm in, my problem is in noisy environments. Mine's not, I'm not hard of hearing, it's just I'm old and my ears are getting old, and so I'm losing sound in certain ranges. So noisy environments, if everybody's sitting around in a restaurant or something, if we're in those environments and you see me nodding along going, yeah, you know, when you've said, my puppy just died, and I'm, yeah, it's because I can't hear a word you're saying, you know, and I'm trying to pretend to be part of the conversation. Well, that's very interesting.
I have a funny story, if you don't mind. Like when my very first coding job, I was, you know, nervous. Like, oh my God, I'm the new guy. I hope I know what I'm doing. We went out for lunch, you know, a welcome to the company lunch, and we're in the elevator, and somebody said something, and I did one of those, yeah, good, yeah. And they all kind of like looked at each other. Did he just agree to that? And then I said, maybe I didn't hear you. And I can't remember what we talked about, but I just remember the kind of that sheer panic of, like, oh, wait a minute, I said the wrong thing.
Yep. Totally been there, yeah. Again, mine is strictly old age, but yeah, we get in a restaurant situation. That's why at conferences and stuff, you won't see me go out to dinner in large groups of people. It's not that I'm antisocial, it's just that I can't hear in these situations, so it's very uncomfortable for me.
I understand that completely. One of the cool things about the hearing aid is that they have directional, like, settings, so I can have it like focus forward or omnidirectional. In loud situations, I can switch it, and you know, I have to be facing the person. But technology is cool.
That is very cool. Now, I was listening. Adam Savage of MythBusters has a podcast, and he was talking about the fact that he has hearing aids, and his now have an app that on his phone, because they can be controlled by Bluetooth, so he can actually tune them with his phone. Are yours to that estate yet?
No, mine are pretty much, you know, click a button. I work for a hearing company that serves hearing clinics in terms of cloud-based software, and we've been talking with the CEO about getting some of these new hearing aids with the new technology, but when that happened, if it happens.
No, okay. Hey, let's move on and talk a little bit about LaraChat. You have I have just become aware of it in the past probably 2 or 3 months, but you've set up a Slack channel and are building a virtual community for Laravel developers. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, I started this in January 2015. I was working at a small startup at the time. We started integrating. This is when Slack hit like their viral boom or whatever, and we started using it internally. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. This would totally replace our email. Excuse me. Then I saw some online communities pop up around the startup ecosystem, and I thought, well, we're starting to learn Laravel in this company for a new product. Maybe I should see if there's a Laravel one. There wasn't, and I kind of thought, well, this could be an opportunity to put something together, and I just kind of took the chance and registered it and put a website up and started contacting various, you know, blog places like Laravel News and some other people who have Laravel-based blogs, and it kind of just grew slowly. And then I think at one point, Taylor Otwell, the Laravel founder, came along. He's like, oh, cool. I'm going to retweet this and join. And then it just like went skyrocketed from there.
I can imagine. If Taylor gets involved, it skyrockets. I run Nomad PHP, and we send out a newsletter every week. And this past week, which it went out yesterday, was the tip in the newsletter was his framework complexity blog post. Yes. And you know, the open rate was pretty good, you know, because we're talking about framework complexity and people like that. But the click through rate, as soon as they saw Taylor's name, it's like boom, and my click through rate just went through the roof. So I've learned my lesson. Anytime I want to adjust my click through averages, I've just got to put something in there from Taylor. So
yeah, we had him on our podcast 2 weeks ago, and same thing, you know, just went through the roof. Cool.
He was actually 2 weeks ago. He was on this very podcast. Him and Joe Ferguson talking Laravel and Homeslot or Homesite. So that was very fun. And I don't usually focus on a single framework like this, but Laravel is a hot topic right now. People want to hear about it. So yeah, that's what we're talking about. Hey, let's take a break real quick. I want to talk a little bit about our sponsor, Nomad PHP, which those of you who know me, you know that it's another one of my projects. Nomad is a group of PHP developers from around the world, and we gather together once a month just to learn. We have the best conference sessions out there. I find the best conference sessions by the best conference speakers, and I bring them to Nomad PHP every month. Now, if you value learning, and if you want to stay abreast of all that's going on in the PHP ecosystem, join us. Whether you're a senior PHP developer or you want to be one, we have the sessions that are going to help you further your career. Now, you can get more information about Nomad PHP at nomadphp.com, and we would love to see you at the next session. Okay, so you're doing LaraChat, and you set it up over a year ago, and I really had no idea because, like I said, it's only come to my attention in the past 2 or 3 months, but then again, I kind of focus when I'm working on something. I've been working on something for the past 6 months, and I kind of lose my peripheral vision. You're using Slack. Now, does Slack's free version allow a community of your size in there, or are you now getting sponsors and having to pay for the paid version of Slack and everything?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because over the course of time, we had we were very afraid that, you know, if we get a certain threshold of numbers, we're going to get shut down. There were some other communities that got shut down. Forget which name it was, but excuse me. So we were really worried about that. We were thinking, do we contact Slack, say, hey, we're growing, we're going to hit these numbers, or do we just kind of stay behind the scenes and hope they don't notice us? So we had lots of discussion about, you know, getting off of Slack, going onto another platform, or like, what do we do? And over time, Slack won out because a lot of us are using Slack within our businesses. So we decided, you know, if they kick us off, they kick us off. We'll deal with it. Maybe we'll move on to something else. And one of the other things I really struggled with is trying to figure out how the direction I would want to take the community, because the way I look at it is Laravel is Taylor Otwell's vision, his framework, and there's Laravel news for the blog post, there's Laravel.io, I think it is, for forum, Laracast for Jeffrey Wade videos. I'm kind of thinking, well, where do I fit in that ecosystem, and I'm just a community. So I didn't want to go and take the site and add videos onto it, because Jeffrey's doing that. I didn't want to add a forum on top of that, because Vint, I think his name is doing that. So I said, well, I'll just stick with the Slack channel and, you know, we'll let people chat. And if it works out where people love to make friends and connections, then awesome. I'm making a lot of new friends, learning a lot of new things. So who am I to complain?
Well, no, it's great that you're doing that. As a community organizer myself, I know it's no small feat to do something like this. It takes a lot of time and there's a lot of work behind the scenes that is a lot of thankless work. You know, nobody knows to thank you because nobody knows everything you're having to do this stuff. So, you know, for those of us who understand what you're going through, thank you. It's wonderful that you're putting this together. So you put it together, and now what's your how many people do you have now on average?
I haven't looked at the official number, but on our laracast.co website, we have the official number that connected a Slack API to get them. But if I venture a guess, it's around 1,400 members right now.
Wow. That is phenomenal. That is, it's a great groundswell of community effort there, and something to be proud of if you put that together in your first, 2 years? So that's wonderful. Now, not content to just sit on your laurels with having built a very large virtual community, you have joined the ranks of what I like to call those of us who love the sound of our own voice. You're now creating a podcast.
Yeah, the way I originally started, we just said, hey, let's get everybody together on a hangout and chat. And it was like an unofficial, come on in if you can, and everybody just hung out. Google Hangouts is fantastic for that. And then we thought, you know, why don't we do a LaraChat live session with certain people who seem to keep coming back. And then we did that as an official session with official topics. And then noticed some people started visiting the YouTube page and watching it live. And okay, well, why don't we have some guests? So invited various people in the community. And I think our 10th show, we finally worked up the urge to ask Taylor to come on. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. Like, oh my God, Taylor, I'm almost coming online. Okay, crap, we got to deal with this. Yep. And yeah, so this year we've decided to really throw down the ante and say, all right, well, we're going to go and get all of these special guests and all these people that we look up to and say, hey, why don't you come on and let's talk about some really cool topics. And like I mentioned, we had Taylor, and next week we'll have Jeffrey Way. Beyond that, Eric Bach.
Cool.
And so we have a whole roster of people that want to be on. And again, one of the things that I think is really cool about it, and people are shy, but it's open to the community. So if somebody is a LaraChat member, they can come on and be part of the panelist, which is why sometimes you'll see different people as a part of that group. We have the core, which Eric, myself, and Matt Lance, but you know, various members will come on and just talk about different technical topics.
Very cool. I love to see it when communities get together and organize these things and help each other learn. I'm currently doing some writing, and one of the things I was writing about today was learning and how the fact that I woke up one day about 5 years ago and realized that the focus of my career is now helping people learn. And so I've been looking around at how other people are doing that. And I love it when communities start self-organizing learning opportunities, because that's, to me, that shows that it's a thriving community. And my light just went off.
You know, I could talk about a friend of mine in the startup world who's building a bot that could be something where people can learn at your own pace. You remember those books back in the day where you read through, and if you do this, go to page 6. If you do this, go to page 8.
Oh, self, yeah, I remember what they were called. What were they called? Not
your
self.
Build your own story or something?
That's it, yeah. There we go. Okay, lights back. Build your own stories. Yes, talk about that for a little bit.
So a friend of mine, he has a startup, you know, down in San Fran where all the startups are, and he showed me a really cool Facebook bot that he built, where I send a message, like a Facebook DM, and I say, hi, hello, how are you, whatever, and I come back and say, hey, Sean, what do you want to learn today? And it gives me like some button that says, do you want to learn about, and it was startup-based, so do you want to learn about MVPs, or do you want to learn about business modeling, etc.? So I want to learn about that. And then I was talking to him, like, this would actually be a really cool way to, for people in, like, let's say, programming, to be able to step through and learn at their own pace. So maybe sometimes when I read an article, I think, oh, I know this, where, oh, down at the bottom, that's what I don't know. Where you can maybe, like, it can point you to where you really want to learn. I'm curious to see where he takes that. I think that'd be a really exciting way to learn.
That really is interesting. Is that a public project, or is he keeping that private for right now?
It's private right now in the beta stages. I can't remember his URL right now. I can send it to you after.
Okay. Well, I was if it was public, I was going to throw a link to it in the show notes so that other people can enjoy that. Yeah, that would be very interesting. And there are several different APIs these days that you could build that kind of bot using PHP and gluing together a couple other things. Hey, before I let you go, I want to talk. I always ask people about their hobbies and stuff like that because we're more than just programmers. We like to do other stuff. Contrary to what a lot of people believe, including my mom, who thinks that all I do is sit in front of the computer all day, you play hockey. Now, you play hockey, but you got into it because of your hearing loss. Tell us a little bit about the backstory, and then tell us what you do what leagues you play in, that kind of stuff.
Sure. It's a little bit different from what you said. I got into hockey normally because I love hockey and I'm Canadian.
Oh, okay.
And then what I played, normal hockey growing up, and I was always, that tall guy, gangly, and wasn't that great. And then once I stopped growing, having growth spurts, I started getting my coordination. And then I found out there is actual, depth hockey. So I went and played with the Western Canadian hockey team in a tournament and, BC hockey team, the provincial teams, and then got an invite to the Canadian national program. And that was back in 2003. We traveled to Sweden and played over in the Deaf Olympics and won the gold medal for Canada in the Deaf Olympics there. And then when I came back, I started thinking, what can I do to give back to the deaf community, the deaf and hard of hearing community in BC who play hockey, and it started building up the BC Deaf and Hard of Hearing Hockey Program, and I've been, building that up and organizing practices and games locally, taking the team to these deaf tournaments here and there, and then I got invited to be in this Molson's commercial where they took me up into the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, and we played in on the lake kind of hockey rink in 5,000 feet into the mountain. And they shot a commercial of that. And during the Stanley Cup playoffs that year, I think 2 or 3 years ago now, they broadcast it, and so my face was all over in the background of these commercials.
Wow. Yeah. That is very cool. Now, for those of us, and forgive me if I am insensitive because I'm not trying to be, but for those of us who don't know, what's the difference between a hearing-impaired hockey game and a regular one?
That's actually a good question. So a regular hockey game, if you would see on, let's say, TV, watching the NHL, the referee blows his whistle, people bang their sticks for the puck, or they call for the pass. In a deaf or hard of hearing hockey game, there is virtually no sound except for, let's say the sounds of the skates and sticks on ice. And which is kind of funny, I was, after playing hockey for about 15 years or so, I took my oldest daughter public skating, and I was pushing her around on the ice, and I had my hearing aid in, and I'm thinking, I could hear the skates on the ice, chunk, chunk, chunk. I'm like, wow, this makes noise. I could have used this all this time to know if there's someone behind me checking me. I think that's one of the big differences that a lot of people take for advantage in almost any situation, in any sport, where you don't know what's around you. So you have to be very aware. I think that's the big difference. The whole noise is, it's not there.
Very interesting. That's so far out of my realm of experience that I find it fascinating. Hey, before I let you go, I want to ask you the same two questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group and what's the URL?
It's Vancouver PHP, based in Vancouver. So if you go to meetup.com/Vancouver-PHP, it should show up. If not, just search Vancouver PHP on meetup.com. Would
Very
love to
cool.
see more Vancouver people there. Please come out if you're from Vancouver.
Vancouver is a beautiful city. I was there. It was quite a while ago, but we were cruising out of Vancouver, and we got to spend a day just wandering around downtown. It's just absolutely gorgeous. I don't like the cold. I'm living here in God's waiting room, Jupiter, Florida, but and it's nice and warm here. But it is a beautiful town. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my friend Eric Van Johnson, who is with us today. Thank you, Eric, for recommending Sean for being here. And Sean, like I said earlier, as a community organizer, I know what you're having to go through to keep everything going and keep all the plates spinning in the air. So on behalf of everybody who doesn't know and would say thank you if they did know, thank you for everything that you're doing, both for the PHP community and the Laravel community.
Thank you, and thank you to all the other people who put out all the content and community as well. It really enabled me to become a better developer. I'd love to talk to people about coding, though. If anybody wants to talk code, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LaraChat, Slack. Hit me up. I'd love to learn.
Okay, and with that, we're going to shut down. Thank you so much for everybody who have attended this live. If you're watching this on the recording off the podcast feed, we do these Elephant Live episodes on GoToWebinar. So keep an eye out on our feed on Twitter. That is @Elephant. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.